listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior Divine. It is the faith of every believer, but it is not originating in us. It is a gift of God. As Paul said to the Corinthians, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We also read in Scripture that the Lord Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And in doing that, he makes himself as well the object. And especially in the words that he spoke to Nicodemus, that gave that wonderful message along with the new birth, the call to repentance, and the leading in truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we do seek the Lord, we find out, as Paul said to the Galatians, we can be shut up under the law to the faith that is afterwards revealed. Or as he said of himself, he revealed his Son in me. That is also through faith. When I think of this song, my faith looks up to thee. Probably never sing it without thinking of the man that was in our congregation, the man that was an elder, and then God convicted. And he said something happened here, pointing to his heart. And one Wednesday night, he requested this song, and the following Friday, he died. The last stanza states, when ends life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream would o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove, O bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. Possibly the last words he sang, and then experienced it through faith. Reading now from John chapter 3, the words of Christ in the third verse to Nicodemus. After Nicodemus had said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, the Lord Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to stop here for a moment before we read that well-known verse, John 3:16. This is God's word. This is spoken by his Son, of whom Paul said later, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Let's think of that as we hear these words from his mouth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray, giving thanks. We have here, as I said, a perfect word. What we say from now, the rest of this time, will not be perfect. We might stumble over truth, sadly. Stumble in words as well. When come to my age, we don't always say the words rightly. We don't say sometimes the right verse, the right scripture, the right place that it's written. I hope you can pardon me for that. But what I just read, though we do not read it perfectly, we do not hear it perfectly, we do not think of it perfectly, but it is a perfect word. Father, we give thanks for this word coming from Christ. We give thanks for the truths that are spoken by him in it, spoken to Nicodemus, but also spoken to each one of us when we read, when we are told, as he was told, except a man be born again, he cannot see thy kingdom. And except a man, except one be born of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter thy kingdom. Help us to know these things, even as thou didst teach, Lord Jesus, just before thy death, the coming of the Spirit. And as he then was promised, the promise was fulfilled, particularly on the day of Pentecost. And also, Lord Jesus, as thou didst breathe on the apostles on the day of the evening of thy resurrection, saying, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. We know that they received him in a measure then, and a greater measure later, when they were strengthened so they could not only believe the word, but preach the word. And we pray that we might be able to do both, believe it for ourselves. Lord Jesus, you said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. You also told us that if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. And we pray and plead that we may not be left in blindness as we preach the word. that others fall in the ditch with us, or we are left in the ditch and not even know it. We pray that thy Spirit might work mightily once again in the church to revive it. Thy Spirit might work mightily in the world to awaken it and save it, both Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, that we might understand the promises in thy word as well as the warnings. And we pray, Father, that we also may know thy word, and we also may know that the secret things belong to thee, but the things that are revealed are for us and for our children, that we might hear and obey, that we might hear and believe. And we pray, Father, that thou would increase both, that we believe to thy glory, that we will endure sound doctrine in thought and word and deed, and then also we will obey, being doers of the word as well as hearers. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings, those that need the healing hand and sickness and injury. We pray that thou wilt, through Christ, the great physician, give healing. And were it is not thy will to give healing, thou wilt give the grace to bear under it, and especially that they might learn through chastenings the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray that thou prepare those for death that will be left in their sickness and injury till that hour, all through Christ. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are, those in lonesomeness, those in sorrow, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray that husbands and wives might be brought to repentance toward thee and toward each other. We pray, Father, that each one might know their sin, and not just the sin of others, and exaggerate in it, and left to it. We pray that the church may not join in wickedness, but the church may preach righteousness, both in repentance and in faith, all in thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for thy blessing in other areas, the schools, the workplace, our leaders in government, each office in government, federal, state, local, all the nations having different forms of government. We pray, Father, that especially where there are religious governments and they are teaching lies, that many might come to see it, as Paul did, knowing that they are persecutors. And as, Lord Jesus, you said to Paul, "Why, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" We pray that thou make it known to many today in their hearts, in their minds, that they may also recognize thee as Lord, and particularly as the Son of the Father, the only begotten Son, as thou dost describe thyself. We pray, Father, that many might know that to be true and not lie about it. We ask, Father, for thy Spirit to show, especially Israel, that the Lord Jesus has come, that the suffering servant that Isaiah spoke of has been nailed to the cross, buried, rose again, and will see and is seeing victory. Even though there's much left in wickedness and rebellion and unbelief, we know that thy will, either permissive or decreed, is being done. And we pray that thou help us to understand it, to know it, to give thee glory in it. We pray, Father, for the blessings in nature, especially for those in hunger. We pray for the homeless. We pray for other needs that there are in all of the ways of sorrow and hardship and fear, especially in the warring nations. We pray that all may hear the voice of Christ and come to him and follow him for thy glory, for their present and eternal good. Amen. As we look at these words once again, the words of the Lord Jesus, speaking twice of the new birth, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I believe when we follow Scripture, as we think of Paul saying he was a pattern for those who would hereafter believe, the first thing he learned was that he was a sinner. Asked what he had to do, trembling, astonished. It was a surprise to him that he was where he was before God and before Christ and who Christ was, asking, "Who art thou, Lord?" Here we see Nicodemus coming to Christ, also being perplexed, asking, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" We have to see, as we said before, that the new birth is from above, but it is also again. Many would say it can be translated either way, again or above, and it possibly can. But both are true, And Nicodemus, though he did not understand things as he should have, he did understand that it was, again, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He knew there had to be a new beginning, not just an adding to. And we need to see that. We are dead in sin. I have mentioned before, and it bears repeating, when Paul said to the Ephesians that quickened together with Christ. And as Christ said, recorded in John chapter 6, that except we eat of his body and drink of his blood, we have no life in us. You can't revive death. You can change death from death to life, but only when there's life can it be revived. The Lord Jesus did bring back some from death. He healed many sick. Then we might say they're brought back to health from weakness, from whatever ailment they had. But there was life. But when they're dead, they're dead. And that's where we are. We all died in Adam. Paul tells us that twice in Adam, we all died. He writes to the church at Rome. He writes to the church at Corinth. And we need to see that Adam did die. And from that time on, we were like him. Some would say Adam had a free will and we have a free will. Adam had a free will until he sinned. God said to him, the day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. And from then on, he only wanted to do. As we said before, and again, looking at the words of Christ, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Adam proved that in his death of no love to God, no willingness to come to God. He was already one of those that the psalmist said later, the Lord looked from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, and there was none. Adam didn't understand. And when he showed that he was hiding, God said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I forbid thee? And he blamed his wife, and Eve blamed Satan. They began blaming one another, which is so prevalent today, and so prevalent all the time from our deceitful heart. And that's why we must be born again to see the kingdom of God. It alone is right. It alone has righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. There's not righteousness in us. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We only do evil. And in our evil, we hate. God doesn't speak here of our love. He doesn't say, as many as love, I will save. He does say, whosoever believeth. And we believe from the place knowing that we haven't loved, knowing that we have hated, knowing that we love darkness. And we must learn that first. We must learn those two things, that we need to be born again by the Spirit, and we need to recognize our sinfulness. When we're awakened, we, like Paul, trembling, astonished. And as Paul learned evidently later along the way, as he referred to it in his letter to the church at Rome, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. We're all a coveting people. We're all sadly a murmuring people. We covet other things than what God has given, and many times things that would be not as good for us, either materially or spiritually. Men want the lie of Satan. Eve wanted it. She listened to Satan. She made it known to Adam. And from then to that time on, we have been under the lie. Satan is the father of lies. Satan is a murderer. All of that is there in the heart. And that was there with Nicodemus. And now coming to Christ, the Lord Jesus says, you have to have a new beginning. A new beginning to see the kingdom of God. See that it's a kingdom of wisdom, a kingdom of power, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of truth. We don't have that. We don't have any of that. We are outside of it. And when God awakens us, like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Outside of the kingdom. He began either to think of what Paul had been preaching, he passed very likely, heard about it, knew something about it, and saw Paul arrested, was told to put him in prison, put him in the inner prison, put his feet fast in the stocks. The earthquake came, and his question was, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came very clearly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul didn't say, do better. He couldn't have. He could not have done better. Yes, better than what he was doing, but not better in such a way that he would be saved by it. Never, never, never. We must know that truth, and the new birth will lead us to it. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In that, we receive justification, and we have the beginning of what is called sanctification. Justification makes us before God just as if we had not sinned. We acknowledge our sin. God teaches us of our sin, but he gives forgiveness of sins. That's justification. Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, would say that God is just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. When we are born again and see that we are sinners and we see the kingdom of God as holy, righteous, we're outside of it. How are we going to be part of it? Yes, we must be born again by the Spirit. But, as the Lord Jesus said just before he died, we can find those words in John chapter 14, 15, 16. Particularly in 16, he said, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because there's only righteousness. God's righteousness is in Christ. God is righteous himself, but his way of righteousness to impart it to us is through and because of Christ. He is the righteousness. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Justification. We must hold to it in doctrine in the church and teach it, preach it, that sinners might believe it and be justified before God. Forgiven. Sins covered. We have many sins when we come to God. Whether it's like I mentioned some time ago, little Phoebe Bartlett, only 4 years old. She knew she had sinned in such a way she feared she was going to hell. Why? Because we have sinned. We are sinners. And we can't even see it. We can't see the Holy Kingdom. We can't see our unholiness. We are like Paul said of his fellow men. Writing to the church at Rome, he said, they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to God's righteousness. They sought to establish their own. They thought they could do it. Washing the outside of the cup would be sufficient. They didn't think they had an evil heart. They think they were born good, born as the descendants of Abraham, of which John the Baptist said, don't say it. God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. God has to do it, and he can raise it up of a stone just as well as somebody with a stony heart, a hard heart. The stone don't hate. The human heart does. Remember again those words. Every one that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deed should be reproved. He doesn't want his deeds reproved. That's where God begins with us. He begins with us rebelling. Some people say, well, if God does it all, is man a robot? No, he's a rebel. A rebel from the beginning. Again, those words of Christ to Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why do you rebel? And that's what we do. We can rebel against part of the truth as well as the whole truth. Saul had part of the truth as well as the rest of the Jews, and he was rebelling against those who believed it differently than he did, believed it rightly, that Christ had come, that he was the Messiah, that he was the sin-bearer, and now preaching to Nicodemus. Says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of which Christ said, the kingdom is at hand. Repent ye. Come to submission before God. Some people think repentance is just doing better. A drunkard might think, I quit my drinking, now I'm all right. In that one area, he may be better. But before God, he might even be worse. Proud. And some say they quit drinking and are still doing it. Then they're deceivers, deceiving themselves, deceiving others. All of that continues when we still have a wicked heart, a proud heart. The proud heart has to be changed. God said by the pen of Ezekiel, the prophet, to the captives in Babylon, a new heart will I give you. Yes, we need a new heart. We need the new birth, born again by the Spirit. Christ said so plainly here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You and I have the same kind of flesh that Paul knew we had when he said, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing in Paul's was good, not even as a Christian, as an apostle. The flesh strove against the Spirit, and yours is no better. Mine isn't either. Our only hope is the new birth, the new heart, and then receiving Christ in it, all by God's grace, God's power, God's gift for His glory, and for our present and eternal good, and then hopefully for the good of the world as well.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.